This morning, I want to talk to you about living in times of political uncertainty. Anytime we have an election, anytime we go to the polls to vote, and the times leading up and following those elections can be times of anxiety, times of anticipation, times of uncertainty, as we wonder who will win or what we will do if the other one wins. And so I want to speak today a word, but not from myself, but a word from a prophet. Isaiah chapter 6 begins with these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah's vision begins with a political sentence. In the year that King Uzziah died. And for all of us who perhaps are scratching our heads to think, who exactly was King Uzziah? The good news is we know the story. Uzziah's story is actually found in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. So let me remind you about King Uzziah. King Uzziah became king of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, at the age of 16. He became king because his father had been assassinated. And from the very beginning of his reign, he was immensely popular. He reigned for over 40 years, and it was a time of great prosperity and security for the kingdom of Judah. He was a great warrior, and in battle he defeated the Philistines. The Ammonites actually paid him to not invade their lands. They were so afraid of the great King Uzziah. Even the kingdom of Egypt respected and feared the power of King Uzziah of Judah. He refortified Jerusalem. He rebuilt towns all across Judah. He increased the agricultural and livestock output of his nation. He strengthened the military, increasing it to over 500,000 soldiers equipped with the latest technology, armor, spears, bows, and chariots. If I could borrow a phrase from our current political life, King Uzziah made Judah great again, and the people loved him. King Uzziah was considered second only to the great Solomon in terms of the glory that he brought the kingdom. And yet, for all of his greatness, his reign ends in shame. Because 2 Chronicles reflects a certain foreboding reality for King Uzziah. In chapter 26, verse 16, we read these words, "But when he had become strong, he grew proud unto his own destruction." The story goes that Uzziah thought that since he was king, he should be allowed to enter into the holy temple and to make an offering to God, to pick up the incense and to light the incense upon the altar of the Lord. Remember, this is forbidden, except only for priests to enter into the holy place. As Uzziah marches into the temple and into the holy place, the priests stand up and remind him that it's forbidden for him to enter. He ignores their warnings, rushes in, and picks up the candlestick to light the incense. And just then, the high priest notices something on the king's forehead. He points it out to the king, and then they send for other priests to come and examine this spot that has appeared on the king's forehead. And after some medical deliberations, they determine that it's leprosy. The king is unclean. He was marked by his sin and hurried out of the temple. He's eventually removed from power, replaced by his son, and sent to live in isolation, never again permitted to enter Jerusalem or to come to the temple to worship the Lord. He dies 16 years later, alone. In 1931, archaeologists discovered a stone on the Mount of Olives. And the stone was inscribed with these words: "Here lies the bones of King Uzziah of Judah. Do not open." So when our passage begins in the year that King Uzziah died, we are thrust into a time of political uncertainty and transition in the life of the kingdom of Judah. Because Uzziah's end was a personal tragedy, but there were still those who thought that those were the golden years of Judah. And when he died, probably some in Judah felt like their nation would never be the same, and they were afraid. Some probably thought their nation would never be the same, and they were glad. And in this time of national uncertainty, in this time of political transition, we ask ourselves, what does God do in the midst of political uncertainty? Well, friends, let me tell you. God sends a prophet. Isaiah is a priest in the temple. And in the year of King Uzziah's death, he has an overwhelming vision. The Lord comes to him, and he sees God upon the throne, attended to by two fiery angels. And they're singing a hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy." The singing of the angels is so loud that the foundation shakes. The room is filled with incense. And in this moment, Isaiah confesses that he's too sinful to stand in the presence of God. He confesses the sin of all the people, and he prepares to meet his death because he believes that no one can stand in the presence of God and live. But instead of death, the angel of the Lord commissions him. He brings a burning coal from the altar and touches his lips. As a sign of blotting out his sin and preparing him to speak, the Lord then asks for someone to go on the Lord's behalf to speak to the people, and Isaiah declares, "Here am I. Send me." In this story of Isaiah's call to prophetic ministry, we actually see a summary of what will be Isaiah's entire teaching ministry. We see that Isaiah will let us know that God alone is sovereign. No matter who the king is, God is sovereign. God is holy, He's thrice holy, 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 holy. We will see that even though God is holy, we are not. We are sinful creatures. But in spite of our sin, we see that we can be forgiven, cleansed from unrighteousness, cleansed from our guilt and our shame. And then we see that God sends a messenger, a reminder that we are not alone, and a reminder that the greatest part of Isaiah's prophecy will be the promise of a coming king. What does God do in the midst of political uncertainty? God sends us a prophet. We will also see through the rest of Isaiah's prophetic ministry and the rest of all the prophets that God is simply reinforcing what he had taught the people from the very beginning of his covenant. The prophets will reiterate and tell again those simple truths that we are to worship God alone, that we are to not put our faith in idols or the things of this world, that we should not take the Lord's name in vain, that whenever we call upon God, it should be for holy reasons. We should keep the Sabbath holy. We should honor our parents. We should not murder. We should not commit adultery. We should not steal. We should not lie. We should not covet what belongs to other people. The prophets will reinforce all of these teachings from God, even when we would rather not hear it. Sometimes the kings will remember. They will repent and return to the Lord. Other times the kings would not listen to the prophets. They would arrest them, exile them, kill them. And yet God kept sending prophets to call the people back to their best selves, to call the people back to Him, to call us to repent and return and receive forgiveness. What does God do in the midst of political uncertainty, my friends? God sends a prophet. Over and over, we see God sending messengers to remind the people of God's commandments and God's promises. Toward the end of Isaiah, we see the prophet share these words. Look, the young woman is with child, shall bear a son, shall name him Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in the land of a deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It is he who was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was placed the punishment that made us whole, and by his wounds we were healed. The prophet Isaiah reminds the people of a coming king. A king worthy of our worship, and worthy of our praise. And so we do not need to place our hopes upon the kings of this world. What does God do in the time of political uncertainty? God sends us a prophet. I hope we listen. Amen. Dear friends, I invite you to remember and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift His countenance to you and give you peace. And go in that peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.